Sunday morning is the time to talk Tennessee football. It's Sunday Sports Sound Off. On the air for over 50 years. Call in now at 656-9900 or 866-656-9900. And let's talk about the Volunteers.
Brought to you by your volunteer Toyota dealers. Fox Toyota, Green's Tractor, Knoxville Orthopedic Clinic, Great Clips, Iris Networks, TVA Energy Right Solutions, Oak Ridge Nissan, Pipe Wrench Plumbing, Jim Cogdell Dodge, the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, your local volunteer GMC dealership, Wow Cable, the U.S. Army, and Rusty Wallace Kia on Callahan.
Ready! Now with Tim Irwin, here's your host, Jimmy Hines, on 107.7 WIVK and the Sports Animal. This is Sunday Sports Sound Off.
It's been quite a while since we saw anything like that at Neyland Stadium. Kentucky gets its first win in Knoxville since 1984. Kentucky wins by the largest margin over Tennessee since 1935. And as a ranked team, that's the largest margin of defeat Tennessee has suffered against an unranked team. Welcome to Sunday Sports Sound Off. Kentucky 34, Tennessee 7. Tennessee's quarterback play once again was horrific. A couple of pick sixes. There were four turnovers and four consecutive possessions. And a Tennessee team that entered this season with a lot of high hopes certainly played a bad game against Kentucky in losing on Saturday. We welcome VFL Tim Irwin. Judge, it was not a good performance by Tennessee at all. It's very hard to find many bright spots in that game.
Well, at times I felt like, okay, we're going to take control of this thing. And then we kept shooting ourselves in the foot. The pick sixes really broke our back, allowed Kentucky to be more conservative, allowed them just to rely on their run game and didn't have to take many chances. And I thought the game was closer than the score, but you can't give the ball away for touchdowns like that in the SEC and expect to compete. I thought the takeoff up front was a little better than it was against Georgia, certainly. Mm-hmm. And the running game looked better, but the passing game was horrific. And we have got to learn to cover the slant on defense. Every time they got in trouble, it seemed like they just bailed themselves out with a quick slant. And they made a couple of long runs, which is kind of to be expected. They emphasized running the ball, and we gave them that big lead. They could just keep pounding it and pounding it till one broke. A good running quarterback, too, always is tough. They can pop one, but I thought the game was closer than the score, but the turnovers just took us out of it. We're not a good enough team to survive quarterback play like that.
No, and going forward, Tim, it's hard to be real optimistic about the quarterback play. We've seen a good Jared Garantano, we've seen a bad one, but too often we're seeing the latter. There's not enough high marks for him during his career, and so you wonder if Tennessee's going to go to the backup now. When I asked Jeremy Pruitt after the game who might start against Alabama, would it be Bailey, would it be Garantano? He said, undecided. That's not where you want to be at this point of the season. It's certainly not where you want to be with a fifth-year senior quarterback, is it?
No, I look for more younger players to step up and get quality time. Realistically, we're playing the number one team in the nation next week, in my opinion. It's the best team in the nation is either Alabama or Clemson right now.
Right.
And we're playing them next week. We have almost no chance of winning. That'll be three losses. We have almost no chance of winning the SEC East. We have an outside chance, I guess. Who knows how the bowl games work this year, this crazy year? Who really cares? So it's a perfect time to play your young guys, start building for the future. And I think you'll see more of that out of Tennessee.
Yeah, Tim, I do too, because we heard Jeremy Pruitt talk about on last Sunday evening, they had a 49-play scrimmage. Harrison Bailey was the only player that was in on every snap. Pruitt said he was trying to develop players. Now, I asked him on Wednesday, did you see any players that you thought had stepped forward that are ready to play? And he wouldn't give me an answer other than say, well, we're just trying to develop players. But he told the TV crew he identified 27. Now, that's a lot.
You found, yeah.
27 yeah, in that scrimmage it can play.
That's a good recruiting class. Yeah. You got 27 that can play there. Yeah. I would say that's a little bit too optimistic. But, you know, what bothered me the most, I watched the game and studied it, and I really thought the takeoff and the aggression was there on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the running backs were running harder in the, you know, harder, and I thought they fell sometimes out in space. I thought there was, they left a little bit on the table, but the passing game was just abysmal. Yeah. Quarterbacks, receivers, tight end, Keaton making a stupid play out there. I just thought the whole passing game was broken. And I think Kentucky has a pretty good group of defensive backs. They sure look good. Sure looked good yesterday, but you know, I thought their big nose guard goes out of the game. I thought, okay, we're going to run the ball down their throats and get right back in this thing. No, this didn't happen.
And when they did at the end of the first half, when they did that very thing that you mentioned, and it's 17-7, I thought, okay, here they go. But then when Kentucky went 76 yards to open the second half and scored, it was like,
Now we got the ball back. We got the ball back start second half.
Right, but I mean Kentucky
they didn't get it back. Yeah, they didn't get it back till after we floundered.
That's right. So. And Tennessee had a 4th-and-1 and didn't go for it. It was a long one. But my point is,
and it was on the 35. It was on the 35-yard line too. Yeah.
And my point was that when Kentucky went down and scored to open the second half, that's when I thought Tennessee's not going to win this game. That's when I thought it was they weren't going to pull it out.
Yeah.
So.
No, I thought it was going to be tough. I didn't see our guys quit. I just didn't see them playing particularly well. What about our injury report, Jimmy? Who got hurt yesterday?
Jeremy Banks went out with an ankle injury. They did an X-ray, and at the point that Jeremy Pruitt met with the media, he said he didn't know the results of the X-ray. Banks had hurt his ankle earlier on a Wednesday and was able to play in the South Carolina game, but I don't know if it's the same one or not. And then Alante Taylor did not play. The cornerback had a hamstring injury that he suffered during the week, and he was out. And there were a couple offensive linemen that Jerome Carvin and Jameer Johnson, who had been did not play in the previous week. I didn't see him out there hardly at all. I don't know how much they played. So that's kind of where they are on the injury.
Didn't we have an offensive lineman get hurt?
Yeah, Wanya Morris did, and I don't know his status either.
Yeah, I saw him leaving, and they didn't really say much about it on the tube, and I couldn't tell how bad he was hurt. He's had a tough couple of weeks. So
yeah, he got hurt after what, picking up a fumble and running with it or something, and got tackled.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so. But it was painful to watch. I always prided myself. I wasn't on the greatest Tennessee football teams, but I never lost to Vanderbilt or Kentucky. And, man, you know, Kentucky, if you look at their body of work, they're not a real bad football team, Jimmy. They were in they've been in every game they played. They could very easily have a better record.
Oh, absolutely. So, they lost Ole Miss game on a missed extra point, and they ran for 400 yards in that game. And then they had that debacle at the end of the first half against Auburn where it looked like they scored a touchdown. They didn't get the touchdown. Then they fumble it right after that. But they had a chance to beat Auburn, so they could be 4-0. Let's go ahead and get to our thumbs up. Probably won't take too long. I thought the offensive line and run blocking did a good job. I thought Eric Gray had a big game, 24 carries, 128 yards. I thought the first half defense was good. Kentucky had only 75 yards on 25 plays, 3 yards a play. That's pretty good. Gravarius Crouch ended up with 11 tackles. Henry To'oto, I thought, had another solid game. Here's a thumbs up. Harrison Bailey completed a 24-yard pass. So that's about all I got on thumbs up. I didn't see a whole lot else that I liked out there. Thumbs down, that's a laundry list. You mentioned Ramel Keaton. How stupid was that to kick the guy in a sensitive area? That doesn't make any sense. Garantano with his 2 pick-sixes. He also lost a fumble, which I put more on Ty Chandler. Chandler looked like he was trying to take a handoff from him when he bumped him and forced the fumble. I put that on the running back more than the quarterback. Tennessee with 4 turnovers on 4 possessions in a row. The run defense in the second half, Tim, they gave up 161 yards to Kentucky after doing a pretty good job on run defense in the first half. It wasn't there in the second half, I didn't think, the run defense.
No, and I don't know if they got tired. I don't know if they got disheartened. I felt like they were still playing hard, but they weren't playing well. I think Kentucky could smell it, and they came off the ball just as hard as our guys were coming off the ball. I mean, it was they're the ones looked like they had the good line in the second half.
Yeah. Another thumbs down. Tennessee defending Kentucky's slant passes. Tennessee outscored now 61-7 in their last two quarters. That bridges the Georgia game. Third down conversions. Tennessee was 3 out of 12 in this game. They were 4 of 17 against Georgia, 1 of 11 against South Carolina. The one exception was the Missouri game. They've been a poor team on third down in 3 of their 4 games. And here's one. Jeremy Pruitt, and I'll just point to him for saying this, he was disappointed in the running backs. He said they didn't gain many yards after contact, so he didn't like that part of the game. The other thing is Josh Palmer's your best receiver. He had one catch for 11 yards. I didn't think they did a good enough job getting the ball to him or even trying to. Here's another one, and Tim, I'm going to get your take on this. I'm giving him a thumbs down on pass protection from the offensive tackle position. I think the tackles are having trouble in pass pro. You played there. What do you think?
I thought so, too, and I thought that sometimes Jared looked like a staked-out goat back there. He doesn't seem to have that sixth sense about when to step up. I thought one time he broke outside to the right and slowed down, and I think he could have easily, you know, kept running. I don't think he has a good sixth sense. I don't think he's helping them, but I think the tackles have struggled the last 2 weeks. I don't think there's any question about it. I think the inside three are playing pretty good football.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Jeremy's comment. I agree with his comment about the running backs. I don't think the last 2 weeks there's been many yards after contact. There was one section of the game. It wasn't a scoring drive, but it was a good long drive where Gray seemed like he had it revved up, and he seemed like he was running like a man possessed. But I look at Kentucky's running backs, and particularly I looked at one running back seemed to run very low to the ground.
24.
And powered through guys.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why can't our guys do that?
Yeah.
I haven't been impressed. I was not impressed with our receiver play. I certainly wasn't impressed with their blocking on the edge. I wasn't impressed with their route running and how they got themselves open. I don't think the quarterbacks had very many good targets either. I don't know why Jeremy got that 15-yard penalty. I don't think the announcers did a very good job of filling us in as to what he was complaining about. I don't understand what he was in the referee's face about. I think it was something to do with their formation that he felt was illegal. But I really didn't understand that part of the game. But I was disappointed, disheartened. I imagine we feel like Kentucky fans feel. I mean, I imagine Kentucky fans feel like we feel when we beat Kentucky at Rupp in basketball.
Yeah,
I imagine that's kind of how they're feeling this morning. Anyway, it was tough to watch.
Yeah, it was. And so Kentucky gets a 34-7 win. There was another note that came out late in the week, and that was that Tennessee and two other schools in the SEC were fined $100,000. Jeremy Pruitt not wearing his mask properly in the Georgia game. He acknowledged later that he did not. He said there were times when he was trying to communicate, and he felt like he had to take the mask off so people could hear him. But he got fined. So did Ole Miss. One other school in the league got fined as well. And what happens is every fine after that, it's an additional $100,000. So the second offense, you're fined $200,000. Third offense, $300,000. The fourth offense, $400,000. And what happens is, and when I say fine, that means that they withhold the revenue from you, the revenue you're supposed to receive as a team. So Anyway, that came out late last week about with Tennessee's situation in regard to and that's aimed at head coaches. Regarding
If I was the athletic director, I'd sit down with my employee and I would tell him, the next one's on you, big boy.
Coming out of your check, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, if you get fined that much, it's coming out of your check.
Yeah.
I'd stop that. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have a similar sentiment in that regard. Okay, when we come back, we're going to go over several things that peeved Jeremy Pruitt, including a play call, as he was getting on his, he said it was his fault, but he was upset about a play call. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about what he perceived to be a lack of preparation for his players and a lack of effort in a certain situation. We'll talk about that as well. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. With VFL Tim Irwin, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sunday Sports Sound Off.
You know, you have to go to work. You have to correct what we did wrong. We have to, you know, quit being okay with just, you know, being average in a lot of aspects of what we do. And, you know, we have to do a lot of extra work this week, you know, as well. It's obvious that we have to correct things that we need to correct. And we have to work hard on that as well.
That's Tennessee senior junior offensive lineman Trey Smith. His comments about what the offense must do. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off. I'm Jimmy Himes, along with VFL Tim Irwin, who joins us on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline. Tim, how do you feel like Trey Smith has played so far?
I think he's had a pretty good year, Jimmy. I think, like I said, I think our guards and centers, for the most part, have played okay. I do think the Georgia nose guard stopped him up a little bit. I think he's a pretty good player. I thought they played okay yesterday in the middle. I thought our tackle struggled in pass protection, but I thought they played okay. I think he's kind of gotten back to his old self. I thought he struggled last year being out so much with his health problems, but I think this year he's kind of gotten back to his old form. I know that there's a lot of people coming into town looking at him and other Tennessee players for pro prospects, and I think he'll be a higher round draft pick if his health checks out okay. I think he's a great college football player.
I want to touch on a few things that were, I would call them, the Pruitt peeves after the game. He was upset about a lot of things, but Tim, I want to go over these three. Number one, he's very upset. He said, I've never been on a team where when the offense commits a turnover, the other team either gets a pick six or they run it way back into great field position. And I said, are you questioning the lack of effort of the offensive players trying to tackle the defender after a turnover? He said, absolutely. He was particularly upset that the linebacker went 85 yards for a touchdown. And actually, I think that's a pretty fair point, Tim, that it doesn't seem like after a turnover, the offense does a very good job of getting the other guy down. What do you think?
I thought on both plays the quarterback threw strikes to the other team and they had a clear lane and were gone. I didn't think anybody else had a chance to catch them.
Well, now there was an 85-yard run by a linebacker.
I thought he broke on the ball just perfect and had a lane in front of him, and I don't know that anybody had an angle, and I don't know where the rest of the receivers were. I didn't really look at it from that perspective. I mean, of course, you're watching a TV screen, not see it. I know the linemen aren't going to catch them. I mean, they're 300-pounders. I doubt they're going to sprint down and catch a linebacker. As far as the backs and wide receivers, I don't know where they started from, so I really can't comment on who might have had a chance. Didn't look like anybody was ever close to him.
Now, the first one, there wasn't much you could do about that. So that's what I want to get into that one. So the first pick six was a third and four from Tennessee's 39-yard line. Kelvin Joseph of Kentucky picks it off and goes 42 yards. And on that play, Pruitt was really upset. He didn't call his name, but he was really upset with Jim Chaney. He said, I don't like on a third and four. He said, what are you doing throwing a 54-yard out route? He said, that's a bad call. What's the risk versus the reward there? I was kind of surprised that he called Chaney out like that, but he wasn't very happy about that play. Do you remember that exact situation, Tim?
I remember a really poor selection. I don't know if it was Chaney calling it or Jared throwing the ball in the wrong read. There was no way the guy was open.
Right.
And he threw it across the field and the guy undercut it. So I don't know that that's what Chaney had called. I don't know what priority that route was that Jared decided to throw. I don't know if that was his first look, second look, third look. I don't know if he went to the wrong place. I don't know. But it was a disaster. It was the beginning of the end. And, yeah, I don't know. I can't question anybody's effort because it didn't stand out to me and I didn't look back and check for it. You know, I guess he saw what he saw. And I guess we'll know for sure when he comments on Monday. I guess he'll call people out if it was true or he'll take it back. So,
yeah, well, he wasn't so much questioning the effort there. He was questioning the play call. And on that particular play, there was nobody anywhere near where they could stop him, you know, when you have a long out route like that. So that there was no chance to stop that guy.
I don't think you ever want to throw an out route back across the field unless you're possessed of superhuman arm strength. And I think Jared's arm strength's probably fine. I just don't think he throws it at the right place very often, not lately. So,
all right,
that was a bad play.
Here was another one that that got Pruitt upset, or he talked about it. He said, if you want to be a really good football player, in essence, you have to be committed. And he said that we don't have enough players that are preparing properly. He said, on a Wednesday, he was leaving the office at 1 a.m. He saw a TV on. He saw a light on. He opened the door, and there was Henry To'o To'o, watching tape of Kentucky. He said, we don't have enough players doing that. He said, talent don't equal a good football player. It takes want to and preparation. And he indicated he doesn't have enough players doing that. That's an alarm to me, Tim, if he feels that way. About his players. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, I always felt like I got plenty of film work.
Mm-hmm.
And I got plenty of film work in my group. I didn't have to do a lot of extra. I don't know how much time they're allowed to spend with the players now as coaches. The rules were a little different back then. Believe me, we got all I needed. There wasn't anybody that had to watch any extra. We had long meetings, long practices, went over things in painstaking detail. I'm not sure if it's a good idea to have people up at 1 o'clock in the morning watching tape or not. But if nobody's doing the extra study they need to do, that's a problem. If they need to do extra study nowadays and they're not doing it, then that's a problem. And that's a culture that needs to be gotten rid of.
Yeah.
I don't know how much time they're allowed to spend with players during the week. I don't know the rules.
It's a 20-hour rule. It's a 20 hours, and part of that 20 counts the game. And the game is typically said to be 3. So you basically have 17 hours with them during the week.
Well, yeah, if that's the case, you've got to do some extra then.
Right.
There's no way you can get ready to play a game in 17 hours because you figure your practices you're going to have 5 days of practice, and 4 of those 5 days are going to be better than 2 hours. So that's 8 hours. The last one, walkthrough, is going to be about an hour. So that's 9 hours. So that leaves you 8 hours of meeting time to install what you're going to do and look at the other team's tendencies, and that's not enough.
Yeah.
You got to do some extra.
Yeah, and I think that
Henry, that's a problem.
Yeah. I feel like he thinks that he doesn't have enough players doing the extra, which surprises me because that's the first time I know that he's brought that up. That didn't seem to be an issue until I heard him talk about it yesterday. So maybe it has been, and we just hadn't heard about it. At least I hadn't heard about it. But he said they got to be more committed. I'm sorry.
Let me bring up a point.
Okay.
We're about to the stage now where it's his guys.
that he brought in here. We're just about there.
Right.
I mean, there's a few guys that weren't brought in there by him, but we're getting there to where this is his team. These are guys that he brought in to play Tennessee football.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that's supposed to be shaping their attitudes from the time they're freshmen. So if that's the case, part of it's on him.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go to the phones where Jeff joins us. Jeff, you're on Sunday Sports Sound Off.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
Just wanted to say, TNT, I don't know what game you were watching yesterday, but what I watched is Kentucky beat Tennessee's butt. So I don't know what you were watching. But I watched the ass kicking yesterday in Knoxville. That's what I watched. So, you know, that's pretty much either 4 and 5 stars don't mean much as far as that goes. The Big Blue Wall demolishes the Tennessee Valley Authority, the power outage of the Tennessee offensive and defensive line. So good luck next week against Alabama. Maybe y'all score a touchdown or two. See ya.
Okay. Very pleasant, young man. Well, it was 34-7.
Sounds like a lot of years of frustration finally yeah. getting something to crow about.
Yeah.
That's okay. He's got the right. I mean, you can't say he's wrong. I mean, it was a butt kicking. And it could have been closer than it was if you don't give him those two free touchdowns. And it might have changed the complex of the game. But you can't win with that kind of quarterback play. And the rest of the team, the receivers, the – defensive backs not covering the slant. By the time you had all of it up together, it was a butt kick, and I can't disagree with him.
Well, and part of I probably should have explained this a little bit better, but when I mentioned also earlier that when Kentucky scored early in that second half to take that lead, I think it makes it harder for Tennessee to sit there and pound and run a 10 or 12 play drive and score when you're down by 17 at that point. Maybe they should have, because they did that at the end of the second quarter. But I thought it took Tennessee probably away from what it wanted to do, and that was to run the football and control the line of scrimmage. And I thought that when they got that far behind, Tim, it was I think they got into a mode of are we going to be able to come back running the football consistently? And I think their answer was probably not.
Yeah. I mean, even if you make first downs and slowly go down the field, you're going to run out of time. That's right.
Yeah. And in the next couple of possessions after that, by the way, for Tennessee, there was they had a nice – this is Kentucky's up 24-7, but on one of the plays during the next drive, you had the sack fumble with Garantano. They lost 9, so that threw that drive off. And then after that, you had Keaton kicking the Kentucky player, and that stopped that drive. So two of those drives, next thing you know, you're in the fourth quarter, and you're done. All right, tell you what, we need to get a break. If our callers will stay with us, we'll get to you right when we come back. And if you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. With VFL Tim Irwin, I'm Jimmy Himes. This is Sunday Sports Sound Off.
Yeah, I mean, the team that makes the mistakes will win. Of our maximums, you know, it speaks volumes, and it really showed the day. You know, we made more mistakes, we didn't win. You know, you want to always, you know, protect the ball, you know, the ball. You don't want to give up the ball to other teams. You don't want to give them another opportunity, another chance. And the likelihood when you control the ball and you don't have turnovers, you're going to have points on the board. I mean, they're costly mistakes, just things we have to clean up as an offense and in our game. We just have to get better at it.
That's Tennessee offensive lineman Trey Smith. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Sound Off with VFL Tim Irwin, who joins us on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline. I'm Jimmy Himes. We've got a full bank of callers, so let's get right to them, and we'll go to Tim. Tim, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay, Tim.
Well, I tell you what, I thought I had what I wanted to say, but now I'm just all baffled around. But I just... Tim, my question for Tim, where is this great offensive line that we're supposed to have for the last 2 weeks? I can understand this breaking down a little bit on Georgia, the way they come at us. But, I mean, what's going on there, for one? And two, it just seems like when we get ourselves in a hole, which we got ourselves in a big hole thanks to our turnovers, it seems like that our coaches are just not capable of coaching out of the hole. So what do you think?
Tim?
Well, I don't know what your expectations are with offensive line play, but the offensive line, and I'm going to say this, and you're not going to like it, probably played good enough to win that football game. You can't win when you turn the ball over that many times. You can't pound the run at them when you give them two touchdowns and get that far behind. There's not enough time left to score. We ran the ball pretty darn good yesterday. Short yardage runs when we went for it were pretty good. We had some breakdowns at tackle on pass protection a couple of times. Our backs aren't getting too much more than what we give them. Gray did a couple of times, but I didn't think the offensive line played nearly as bad yesterday as they did against Georgia. I think the quarterback had a very bad day. And sometimes what you do up front doesn't matter a whole lot if the guy back there under center or standing back there getting the shotgun snap from the center, in most cases today, if they don't have a good day, it doesn't matter what you do up front sometimes. That's my take on it. You may have a difference of opinion. I've watched a lot of football. I didn't think the offensive line performance was that bad yesterday. I thought the passing game was horrendous.
All right. He also asked about coaches not being able to coach out of a hole. When you have four turnovers and four possessions, that makes it difficult, I guess, to coach out of a hole, doesn't it?
We're not the only team Kentucky's done this to this year. I think they lead the NCAA in the most positive turnovers. Isn't that correct, Jimmy? Did I not hear that yesterday?
Yeah, they had six interceptions against Mississippi State. They had, and now they've got four pick sixes in the last two games. And this is all in the last two games with these interceptions. They didn't have any going into Mississippi State, and they got six. They had four more. So, yeah, their defense has been ball hawking the last two games.
We don't hand them the touchdowns. I mean, not just hand them the ball, hand them the touchdowns. We don't hand them the touchdowns. We're going to be right in that game. We may not win it, but we're going to be in it. And, yeah, I don't know. I just it just made me sick. And then I get revved up after we run the ball down their throats in the first half, and I'm thinking, okay, we're going to get the ball back to start the second half. We're going to go down and score again. We're going to be right back in this thing. It just didn't happen.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Alan. Alan, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me call in this morning.
Yes, sir.
On JG, I love him. I love how tough the kid is. He's taking a beating for us, and I love the kid. But my goodness. You know, even he has slowed his progression when I watch him down the field. You know, there was a play early on. First of all, that first pick six was behind a receiver anyway. It was nothing that Kentucky did. I mean, that guy would have had to been that guy. That was the easiest pick six ever. That was a horribly thrown ball anyway. But even early in the first quarter, if you remember, there was a play where they got reviewed. I think it's probably Johnson caught it over the sideline, and they reviewed him whether he was inbounds or not. My gosh, he was open the entire route. It's just that JG, the time he got it and got it to him, he's almost out of bounds. But, yeah, his progressions are so slow. The time he requires downfield is not going to be allowed anywhere. It's just not. I agree with Tim. I thought the O-line played pretty decent, good enough to win. But and Chaney, I know Tim's a big fan of Jim. But I'll tell you guys, I think the game is – I don't know if it's starting to pass him by or I think he's stubborn. And I think that there's – I don't know that it wasn't true that it was – calling, yelling at him, telling him he wanted to run the ball, but I don't know, man. I'm losing confidence in him. I think that the formula to beat him is out there. I think Georgia definitely released it, and I think you're going to see similar defenses dial up similar schemes to us for the rest of the year. So I hope they can get past it to what the other caller said about getting out of a hole.
Do you have an example of why you think the game has passed Chaney by?
Just two games in a row, he couldn't scheme around a deal. I mean, first of all, Kirby completely outsmarted him. But yesterday, Stoops, I'm just not going to believe that defense outsmarted him. I mean, I know he had four turnovers over early, but I think the first interception, I agree with Pruitt. I think it was probably, if Pruitt's saying it was a bad call, I know we don't know the call that was played, the play that was called, but I have to trust the coach. And I think it was a bonehead play, but I just don't see him marveling anyone. I don't see him doing anything that is just more. I don't see him able to make halftime adjustments. I don't see us making any changes that are positive. I just don't see any fantastic plays. I don't see receivers getting open. I know some of that's on the athletes, but some of it's on the coaches. Some of it's on the scheme too. So I don't know. I know we've scored, 7 points in the last 14 points in the last two games. Does that sound about right?
We scored 7 points the last six quarters.
That's right. Last six quarters. I don't know, guys. I just don't see us creating anything. And I think when the players are struggling, I think you've got to do it with your brain.
Okay.
And you can't do it with your brawn.
Okay.
So, guys, I appreciate it. As always, go Vols, and enjoy your show. I appreciate you guys.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I have a two-part question. Number one, do you think Kentucky's going to go ahead and retire Jared Garantano's number? He did do something that nobody's done in, 30-something years. And going into the Alabama game, do you start Jared since it's Alabama and not Vanderbilt, or do you go ahead and try a new quarterback?
Yeah, I asked Pruitt after the game, and he just said undecided about what the direction he's going to go. Here's the concern that I have, and Tim, I'll bounce this one off of you. We continue to hear, and I'm not arguing with it because they should know, that Garantano gives you the best chance to win. So my concern is, have you not done a good enough job recruiting quarterbacks in the last couple of years, or have you not developed them the way you could or should have? What do you think?
I think if they had somebody better, they'd be playing. I don't think Jim Chaney's had a couple of good weeks, but I think that he's smart enough to have his best quarterback on the field. And I think that in practice, at least, they believe Jared's their best guy. I don't think Harrison Bailey has gotten enough work to where he's ready. And I don't think the other two guys that the coaches believe that they can step up and give us anything better than Jared's given us. I think one thing that's been given Jim Chaney and the offense trouble, and I do think that Kirby outsmarted them some ways with this. Right before the ball snap, the defensive line is stemming. And stemming means moving positions on the defensive line, not mm-hmm. sitting out there sitting still, but moving over and covering a different guy. And I think that adjustment is causing enough confusion to let some linebackers run free at times, and keeping us from getting those 7 and 8 yard gains instead of 2 and 3 yard gains. And I think that's something the announcers pointed out, and it's something that I picked up on last week. We were having a lot of trouble when right before the ball snapped, the defensive lineman stem or move.
Yeah.
Change positions. And it used to drive me bonkers when I played. And I think it's still giving Tennessee fits right now, and that's something we got to work on up front. Something I picked up, and something the announcers picked up on on Saturday as well.
Yeah. And while Garantano did not play well yesterday, nobody would argue that, the year before against Kentucky was 7 of 8 for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he played very well, and if not for that, Tennessee doesn't beat Kentucky last year. All right, when we come back, we will have more. I'm Jimmy Himes along with VFL Tim Irwin. You're listening to Sunday Sports Sound Off.
Time.
Yeah, we have no choice. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we signed up for it. This is our university. We love it. We're going to defend it. And at the end of the day, you know, if you don't agree with that, you don't like that, you can get out. But this week we're going to go to work. We're going to correct what we need to correct. We're going to get extra work in as well because we have to fix this. At the end of the day, it's up to us to fix this. We all have to make a cognitive decision that we're gonna fix this university. We're going to fix this football team. We're going to fix our mistakes. We'll perform better.
That is Trey Smith. His comments when asked if he thought the players could turn things around. Welcome back to Sunday Sports Soundup with VFL Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. Let's go right back to the phones where our next caller is Troy. Hello, Troy.
Hey, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Okay.
Normally, I would be really ticked off, but you know what? I'm getting used to this stuff. It's almost comical now. But I got kind of a two-part question. First one's kind of like a trivia question, Jim. But, or John, I'm sorry. How often would a school the size of Tennessee in the SEC hire a head coach? Or when was the last time one did in modern history that had never even had high school head coaching experience or at the junior college level or anything as such? The second question is, the reason I ask is, this guy is supposed to be a defensive coach. How come after four games, and this has happened in all four games, we cannot cover that slant? And does he not know there's a vulnerability there? Does he not get it? Because that's killing us, and that's going to kill us all season because other teams are watching film, and they're just going to use that against us. And I'll listen to your answer.
Okay. Tim, you want to take the slants?
I don't know why we can't cover the slant, but you can bet the house on it we can't. And, yeah. We're going to see it against Alabama. If we can stop them on the run, I guarantee you the first third down will be a slant. And their receivers make what we've been playing against look like schoolboys. And, yeah, it doesn't bode well. But I agree 100%. Why can't we cover the slant?
Yeah.
And I was concerned when he was hired about the lack of head coaching experience. Now, Philip Fulmer, when he made that hire, did exactly what I wanted to do about a year late. I wanted him to get the best defensive coordinator he could find and get Jim Chaney to run the offense. That's what I wanted. It took an extra year to get there, but we got the package that I wanted. And so am I disappointed in the combination's performance up to now? Sure. What disappoints me the most about Jeremy is he's now beginning to coach his own players that he brought in. So if they're not good enough, it's on him. You can't blame it on the guy that was there before him. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I would have said after two games, hey, we're heading in the right direction here. But after the last 2 weeks, I'm just not sure.
That's a fair.
I don't think the Tennessee Nation's sure either.
Yeah. As far as hiring a head coach in the SEC with that head coaching experience, it happens all the time. Kirby Smart at Georgia. The one before that at Georgia was Mark Richt. Florida did it when they hired Will Muschamp. Arkansas did it when they hired Sam Pittman. Mississippi State did it when they hired Dan Mullen. And Kentucky did it when they hired Mark Stoops. It happens all the time in the SEC. So you might want somebody with experience. I get that. But it happens all the time in this league, and those are some examples. Okay, let's go to Billy. Billy, you're on Sports Sound Off.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Billy.
All right. So,
morning.
I'm real frustrated, and I'm gonna say a couple things here, and I'm gonna point to some examples. I agree with the previous caller that the play calling and game management on the offensive side of the ball have lost us the last two games, and I'll give you two examples, Jimmy. We ran the ball in the second quarter 13 plays and scored a touchdown after we had just given up four turnovers. We were in the ball game 17-7, down by 10.
Right.
The defense gets a stop, right? Come out, there's a minute 30.
Minute
we're
16.
We're going to get the ball.
Minute 16.
Minute 15. Okay, still a minute 15, right? Your quarterback has turned the ball over three times. We come out in a no-back set. I don't understand that at all. Why are we doing that? There's no need to panic. At this point, if you can get a field goal, you're going to be down by 7 points, and you get the ball to start the second half. That's poor game management, and that's on Jim Chaney. And Pruitt gave him the reins to call plays. Now, the other point I'll make is the following. Every time we get a turnover, you can bet the house and my retirement that we are going to call a bomb on the next play. Now, if a couch potato like me can pick up on this, surely defensive coordinators like Kirby Smart can. And the final point I'm going to make is I'm tired of everybody bashing Jarrett Garantano. Okay, so he's not the best quarterback in the world, but he's still a kid. And we have had no quarterback development. I never once heard Steve Spurrier say, you know, Tennessee fans would say, oh, well, we're going to get Florida next year because they ain't got Danny Werfel. Boy, it didn't seem to matter because Steve Spurrier was loading the gun with another one coming right in. He coached those kids up. So I agree with the previous caller. I'm not sure if Jim Chaney is the highest paid offensive coordinator in the SEC, and I'm sorry to disagree with you, Tim. I like a lot of things you say, but this guy is not getting it done. And if Pruitt wants to right the ship, he's going to have to get rid of him.
Well, I will mention to you in terms of the turnover and then the or at least a sudden change Tennessee did against Georgia and scored a touchdown. They threw a 37-yard touchdown pass right after they stopped Georgia. So a lot of people do that, and there was success doing that against Georgia. It's one of the few good plays they had in that game.
Against the previous drive against Kentucky, we ran the ball 13 times and scored a touchdown. We weren't running the ball against Georgia.
Well, I'm not arguing that. That's a different conversation. But
you are arguing that because like I say, each game dictates what you need to do.
No, we were talking about what you do after a turnover. That's what I was talking about. So we were talking about something different. And I think the reason Tennessee threw the ball with a minute 16 left on their own 23 was they probably didn't think they had enough time to sit there and pound away to get in position to score because they had no timeouts left because they had used them all.
That was the point I was about to make.
Yeah.
How are you going to run the ball down the field, even for a field goal, with 1:15 left and no timeouts?
Yeah.
Are you going to give up and just go into halftime and say we get the ball back and start over? Are you going to try to make something happen there? The only way to make something happen there is through the air.
Yeah.
Maybe we're not good enough to do it through the air, but that's the only way. So if you're taking that as your coaching point to condemn Jim Chaney, then I don't think you're making much of the point. There's a lot of other things you could say that maybe have some merit. But let me tell you something. He has had a good offense everywhere he's been. He took a cast-off quarterback from Tennessee at Pittsburgh and had a sensational season with him that we didn't want, that couldn't play here, and made him work. He's had success at Georgia. Yeah, got him drafted. He's had success at Georgia. He's had success everywhere he's been. I'm not ready to say it's him yet.
That's
my point.
That's VFL Tim Irwin. I'm Jimmy Himes. When we come back, we'll have more. This is Sunday Sports Sound Off.